The race for president is underway. Among the announced candidates, one stands apart, unafraid to take untraditional positions. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. Politics makes for heated conversations, and that warmth will be welcome in Chicago in late January, where the American Library Association is holding its annual midwinter meeting. This week, Andrew Albanese, Publishers Weekly senior writer, is reporting from the Windy City, and he joins me now. Welcome back to Beyond the Book, Andrew.
Greetings, Chris.
Well, we will chat about the ALA meeting later in our discussion, our weekly Friday discussion with Andrew Albanese, but we'll start with another group that's also having a winter confab, and really what a difference it makes. It's been 10 years for the American Booksellers' own Winter Institute, and I understand that in Monday's issue, PW has a look at next week's upcoming event, as well as a look back on the last 10 years.
Yeah, that's right. On Monday, PW will feature a supplement dedicated to the ABA Winter Institute. And if you're going to Asheville, North Carolina for this year's event, which is a lovely town, I might add, you'll want to grab a copy for some really great features, as well as a full program of the panels and events, all assembled by PW's bookselling correspondent, Judith Rosen. On that score, this year's Winter Institute will feature more than 25 educational sessions, all designed to help indie booksellers, and really at a very interesting time with concerns about Amazon and ebooks still dominating the headlines, but as we've discussed in recent weeks, with indies enjoying a resurgence of print book sales. And this year's event is going to be keynoted by best-selling author and force of nature, John Green. So it should be a great event in Nashville this year. ABAA officials tell us that they're expecting a full house at this year's event. And, you know, what a difference a decade makes, as you suggest. As Judith Rosen notes in her introduction to the supplement, 10 years ago, it was far from a sure thing that there would even be a second Winter Institute. ABA director, our friend Oren Teacher, tells PW that the event was designed to offer education and professional development. But, you know, at that first show, only about 360 booksellers came from 200 stores, which was really far short of the 500 minimum ABA had hoped for. Publishers were also in short supply that year. But the event has certainly grown by leaps and bounds since then. And this year, the event's going to feature 63 publishers who will be sponsoring the Institute, as well as the Ingram Content Group, which is the lead sponsor, and of course, who has supported the Institute right from the start. But here's the thing I find interesting. Despite the growth of the Winter Institute, its charm, its importance, really, is all pegged around its pretty small size. You know, it's the smaller indie stores who there are there, and more small publishers are now attending the event. And despite the growth of the Winter Institute, the show has really managed to preserve its original vision. Unlike Book Expo, for example, which is now undergoing a transformation to accommodate consumers. As one publisher put it, the paradox is that the more the Winter Institute resists the big changes, the more its importance will grow. So whether you're going or not, you want to check out Monday's issue for more on what has really become a vital and important publishing event, the ABA Winter Institute.
Well, indeed, and it is striking that the book business really gets heated up in January. As you say, we've got the ABA Winter Institute, and you're there in Chicago for the American Library Association's own midwinter meeting, and I'm sure there'll be lots to report in the coming days, but give us an idea of what you're expecting.
Well, certainly there's going to be much more to write about after this evening's opening reception. You know, I never thought I'd be grateful to spend a weekend in Chicago in January, but it sure beats the weather on the East Coast right now. It's actually not too bad out here in the Windy City. But I'll tell you, the thing that I'm working on here in Chicago is a piece on the changing nature of the American Library Association presidency. You know, as many of our listeners no doubt will know, the ALA midwinter meeting is sort of the get things done meeting. It's where committees meet. It's where the real organizational business is handled. And it is also a time when the campaign for ALA president gets underway. And I have to say, over the last few years, the ALA presidency has really, really evolved. You know, it's always been sort of an honor to serve as ALA president, and there's always been certain duties that the ALA president has had, but usually the role has been a rather sleepy one. But with the rise of digital and the battles that have come up around digital, that has really changed. And I think it's obvious when you look at this year's candidates and this year's election that there's big changes still to come. This year, there are four candidates, but I'm going to highlight one example of my sort of thesis here, and that's Jamie LaRue, who's the former director of the Douglas County Libraries in Colorado. And as many of our listeners will know, LaRue is a pioneer and a major advocate of libraries developing their own ebook platforms and system. And he's also been a strong critic of the major publishers and of sort of the status quo in ebook lending, the overdrives of the world. Now, he's been such a revolutionary to the point where he's been labeled radical by some, but make no mistake, if LaRue ends up winning this ALA election, it's going to represent sort of a major shot over the establishment bow that librarians are really looking to take stronger control over their digital future. But even if he doesn't win, the other candidates also offer a similar message, varying by degrees. ALA politics is generally not something that's been of a lot of interest, but this year I think it's pretty clear that that's starting to change. And next week on the PW site, I will offer a look at how and why.
All right. Well, we look forward to that. And, you know, you seem to be a traveling man these days. So right after Chicago, you get to head off to Spain, where we'll catch you for our next podcast. And what will take you across the ocean?
Yeah, well, no rest for the weary, for sure. After Chicago, indeed, I'm off to Barcelona, where I am meeting with a group of other publishing industry trade magazines, including, for example, The Bookseller in the UK and Livre Hebdo in France. And over the course of 3 days, we're going to be talking with a range of European publishers and librarians and getting a greater sense of the international publishing environment. Now, obviously, some of that discussion is going to involve ebooks and how digital is progressing in Europe. Obviously, the digital rollout has been a lot slower in Europe and more fraught than it has been in the US. As an example, this week we learned that German ebook seller Texter, TXTR, is bankrupt. Texter is an interesting venture. It was formed in 2008 to offer really cheap e-reading devices and online book retailing outside of the U.S. ebook marketplace. In the U.S., the company is probably best known for Texter Beagle, which is this small, low-cost e-ink reading device which link consumers by their smartphones. But that never really caught on with consumers or with mobile carriers. And this week we learned that Texter is done. But that's just one part of what we'll be discussing. And you can look for my reports on the PW site later next week. And I look forward to talking with you from Spain, or should I say Catalonia, next week.
Indeed. And we will wish you a bon voyage and talk to you then next week from Spain, directly from Spain. We look forward to that, as we always do every week, to speak with Andrew Albanese, senior writer at Publishers Weekly. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, as always.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as images, movies, and television shows. You can follow us on Twitter, find Beyond the Book on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at our website, beyondthebook.com. Our engineer and co-producer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.